Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You know the most, Chris?
Most yards given up by a Tomlin defense.
Uh-huh.
It's not the Browns game last year, and it's not the Jags playoff game that we laugh about.
I don't think we count the playoff games. We should, but we don't. The Steelers' streak of giving up fewer than 30 points was snapped last night because it excludes the wild card game.
I almost want to say it's the Packers game that they actually won.
No.
On the walk-off TD.
Most yards, Patriots in 13.
Which is probably
the worst defensive performance by a Steelers team ever.
I had people telling me last night that that was the worst ever, even though they, again, didn't have T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, or Joe Hayden.
All Access with Aditi Kinkabwala. Her take on last night's game is what, Aditi?
Well, I want to go back first. Sorry, but you were talking about T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, and this sort of goes back to last year's Defensive Player of the Year when it was Aaron Donald and not T.J. Watt, and I remember saying just before it was announced to my husband, I'm like, it's going to be Aaron Donald. And mm-hmm. He was like, what? What? How can you say that? Look at the numbers. And I said, it's not always the numbers. This is kind of one of those things, like the way that people are talking about who is the offensive player of the year. It's almost always a quarterback, but look at what Jonathan Taylor is doing and what he means to that team. T.J. Watt gets all the fancy. This is not a knock on T.J. Watt in any way. This is not denigrating or diminishing or demeaning what he does. But Cam Hayward is facing a double or triple team on almost every single play and still playing at this ridiculous level. The nature of his position is not to necessarily put up the same flashy stats, but again, what he is able to do at his spot is what helps free some of the other mm-hmm. guys put together some of that flash. And I think that when it comes to things like that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, people who make those decisions, voters and such, are sometimes a little bit more in tune to that than they are to what just the basic numbers are. So that's why I think when you hear this argument, or why it's a very valid conversation, you know, which one is having sort of a more impressive or more valuable year. Just because Cam doesn't have TJ's numbers doesn't mean that Cam isn't having just as much of a monster year, if not more so.
Thank you, Aditi, for burnishing my take and making me sound smarter.
That's why they call me Surface Deep Muller.
And anytime I get opinion that backs up and reinforces what I believe, I will give you all the time you need to articulate that point as well as you just
did. Andrew did continually raise his eyebrows at me, like, listening? You listening mm-hmm. here during that? He was he had the eyebrows up and the air of superiority about his face.
All right, so Steelers 37.
You want to talk about last night?
Steelers 37, Chargers 41. Aditi is watching it on her 75-inch TV screen, and she's...
but okay.
Congratulations on all your success. So you're watching
it
on a big TV.
Did you have, like, an 80-inch TV in your basement?
Aditi is watching it on a very nice TV, and as that game is ending, you're turning it off, and what is the primary thought in your head as you leave that game?
The primary thought in my head, quite frankly, is, I was right 2 weeks ago when I said you can't ever count the Steelers out. And I did not expect them to go into Los Angeles and win. simply because they were missing all those people that you said, T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joe Haden and Isaiah Loudermilk, and you knew that Kevin Dotson wasn't there on the line. And, Pony, you have been saying this over and over, and I've been backing it up, obviously, that we all knew Ben was going to have this tremendous game, but still, there was just this nervousness. And it was also one of those things that I always, you know, that inevitably over the last few years, you keep thinking about the Steelers, is that they're, instead of just beating somebody up, are they going to try to overthink or outthink someone, which will go back to the run game. You're facing the worst run defense in the NFL and you're down by the goal line and you're not running the ball. But I digress. I didn't think that they would win. I did not think that they would play. I didn't think they'd get blown out. I just, you know, didn't think they would win. But the manner in which they played, the manner in which they came back, mm-hmm. their ability to put those drives together. Ben made some throws that, my gosh, they were like vintage Ben throws. And it's just, again, there are no moral victories. There's no like trophy space for coming close. But I do think this idea that you can't count the Steelers out because they know how to close out games. They have closing power. They have too much experience. That's all valid, you know? And while it didn't net the result that you'd want this week, I still think that there was something to take from that. And I still think that when you listen to the way Ben spoke afterwards, you can hear that. I think that...
Oh, he didn't sound like they were coming off a bad loss or anything. He sounded like he was in a
exactly.
great mood. He was talking about his kid's birthday.
That's my point. Yes, I think that... And we've talked to Ben after miserable losses. We've talked to Ben when the team has grossly underperformed. And... again, in the NFL, a W is a W, an L is an L, and it doesn't really matter. But to some degree, what you saw out of the Steelers yesterday was a bit of an overperformance over expectations. And again, that was a lot of fight. Deontay Johnson, you know, Ben threw some nice balls, and Deontay Johnson made some nice catches. They finally threw a fullback in and just ran the ball up the gut and into the end zone. My gosh, you know, like... there, Mike Tomlin had said he needed a big play out of special teams, and he got a big play out of special teams. It just, it felt like there were a lot of pieces there that even though this is a very, very, very flawed team, and I'm certainly not putting my money on them to win the Super Bowl, you can see them fighting, and you can see them being a part of the conversation, especially in a year when everybody is flawed.
You might not be putting your money on them to win the Super Bowl. What kind of money would you be willing to place on them to win the AFC North, where it appears that every team is continually stumbling drunk to the finish line here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I've covered the AFC North for 10 years. I cannot remember a year that is even remotely like this. And I...
There aren't moral victories, Aditi, but can there be moral defeats? Like if you're the Cleveland Browns, now granted you won, you didn't tie the Lions, but if I were the Cleveland Browns, I'd call that a moral defeat, that your quarterback was getting booed, that his wife again took to Instagram to share posts that are pro him. That whole thing just feels like a powder keg, and it cannot possibly be a united locker room right now as long as he keeps playing.
There's some showmanship to Baker, you know, like the same way that people say that, oh, you know, the walking boot and Ben, there's a little bit of that to Baker as well, you know, showing up in the sling, whether he really needs a sling or not. But Baker is really, really, really hurt. I mean, he's more hurt than Ben.
Too hurt to talk about it after the game?
That's why he shouldn't be playing, because you have a $6 million backup there.
But you know what? Here's what's really funny about this. So as a reporter, it bothers me to no end that he didn't show up. He's paid a lot of money. This is part of his deal as a professional athlete, is that after a game, you're supposed to face the media. That's the way it works. You're the quarterback, and unfortunately, it's always what the quarterback has to do. So where were you? The flip side to that is that Baker has said a lot of stupid crap in his life, and he has really, really grown up in the last year and a half, 2 years. And when he says, I was beyond frustrated and I just thought that it was probably smarter to cool down before I opened my mouth, as a human being, I really sort of admire that and appreciate that. So, like, as the reporter, of course you got to show up. What do you mean? But as a person, I mean, how many times have we gotten in trouble by, you know, hitting send on a note or a text or talking when we shouldn't have because we didn't take that minute to just cool down and take a deep breath? So I get it.
But he does have that time. They're not sticking microphones in his face while he's still on the field. Ben didn't come out until like a half hour after the game last night. He does have time to collect his thoughts.
I don't disagree with that. I think that what's happening in Cleveland is very, very odd because the offense was orchestrated so phenomenally well a year ago. And this year they're just off. A week ago we saw Kevin Stefanski panic, which I've never seen him panic, and go away from the run game and do things, you know, get away from their identity. That was really odd. The one thing about them that's so good is that they're not susceptible to that. We have seen them susceptible to that. Like, they're trying to score three touchdowns on one play. So I don't really know, and I don't know how much. I say I don't really know because nobody is being completely honest about how hurt Baker is and how much his hurt is affecting things. I know that earlier in the year he wasn't pushing the ball downfield because he was trying to be safer, and that was something that was definitely getting to the offensive staff, offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt. Like, this is where Baker is magical. In fact, I even had this conversation with somebody else who was an old teammate of Baker's who now plays with another team in the division, about how, you know, like he was saying, he feels like the Browns are hamstringing Baker because they're not letting him loose. And I said, no, they want him to push the ball downfield. He's just not doing it. And then he finally did in that Bengals game. We saw more of it yesterday. I don't know if that was because, you know, he's playing for a contract and he's nervous and he doesn't want interception numbers. I'm not sure. I still think that there is a lot of talent there. There's a lot more talent on the defensive side of the ball than there was a year ago. The defense has been very, very good. I mean, the defense was very good yesterday. The defense was very good.
Well, they weren't against the Patriots, though. The defense was.
And they weren't against the Bengals. They were against the Bengals.
It forced all kinds of turnovers in that game.
Yeah, it's inconsistency. So that's the thing. You know, like, I was kind of thinking if Baker could get healthy, then this is a team that could put together.
But what I don't get about that whole situation is, so you're telling me if Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the Ravens and he had Baker Mayfield sick, he would have just played him anyways? Yesterday, I just don't get, you have the highest paid backup quarterback in the entire NFL. Like, right now is a perfect time to use him. Like, the Browns to me are like, I don't know if they're afraid to have hard conversations with him or what, but I think it's beneficial for the rest of the AFC North that Cleveland continues to put a quarterback who's probably 50% at best out there and are expecting him to win games for them that way.
Well, I think
that's good for the rest of the division.
I think that that's what the big question is there, and I think that that's what fans are getting very frustrated by, and that Baker has repeatedly said if he's going to hurt the team, then he's not going to force his way out there.
But he is right now.
But
didn't Ken Carmen call himself Humpty Dumpty
really
if they lost that game?
He did, yes.
And people are losing their minds up there.
I mean, I just don't.
Do you think, Aditi, with all the problems they're having, and the Ravens obviously had another great escape, so you don't look at that as like
they're the Houdinis of the NFL.
The Bengals are the Bengals.
You know what? Stop with the Ravens because they deserve so much credit. They do deserve credit, and you cannot.
Well, they deserve more credit for yesterday.
They're not a great team.
No, it's the same exact thing. It's the same exact thing as last year when the Steelers were 11-0,
and we ripped them.
Like, there were like four or five games in a row where you're just like, "What?" And I remember asking Ben Roethlisberger, "Is there a piece of you that's, you know, like, how do you frame this? Do you frame this as we're figuring out a way how to win at the end of the day? That's all that matters, or is this a holy cow? We're skating on the edge.
Skating.
And you do deserve credit for figuring out how to win at the end."
Not sustainable, though.
I was going to say, you're talking to the guy in me who
crushing
them at 11-0.
If you're riding a tough spell, if they can I think they've got 20 guys on IR. 20 guys on IR. So are they built for the long haul? I'm not so sure. Are they in a valley right now, and are they just somehow able to stay afloat until they can get a little healthier and get on a run? That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, giving the coach credit for finding a way to pull out games is one thing, but actually thinking that the Ravens are a part of, like, the elite tier of the NFL is another. And that's where I come down on things. I look at them, and they just don't pass my eye test as a great team the same way the 11-0 Steelers didn't last year.
I think the difference is Lamar Jackson. I think that when you have Lamar Jackson, who is one of the single most electrifying players in the NFL, who can really put a team on his back and do things that nobody else can do, you always have a chance.
Well, don't say that
Craig,
because Craig is going to bring up
problems
the Dolphins
here.
Game.
Craig
said, how about the game in Miami, in my ear? What happened then?
And he's about to be the boss here officially,
yeah, so
and he
think
was
about
shaking
it,
his head in disgust when you brought
pick
up Lamar.
Pick your words carefully here.
Well, I would like to stay employed, so should we move on to another conversation? Would you rather talk about the Bengals?
Very smart. That's not Ben Roethlisberger. We need to go back to the drawing board. Crisis, critical mass. That's Ben like, hey, in a vacuum.
It's not so bad.
We played a pretty good game here, and I didn't do half bad for not practicing during the week. My only issue with that statement is, if you take the game on its own, all right, cool. Like, there have been games that the Steelers have won this year, like the Seahawks, where I think as a team they played worse than they did last night. But it's harder to find positives in losses when you blow a game like the week before against Detroit. I hope, like 2018, the tie against a wretched team doesn't come back to bite them. But I'm afraid, given how congested the AFC is, Chris, that it will.
Two with the Ravens, one with the Bengals, one with the Browns, one with the Chiefs, who suddenly look like ass kickers again, at least on defense, and one with the Vikings on the road. They needed that win, is I guess my point. They couldn't afford for that to be a cheeky little tie that is better than a loss, but right in the middle. Also, the whole thing about Ben being like pretty obviously chipper, I think he understands. I'm sure there's some on a personal level. He's happy that he played well.
And the manner in which it happened.
Because he
just rode in without practice and got the job done.
And he also
did it again, just like last year.
He's been assailed by people like me as being, you know, way washed out and he shouldn't be there anymore. And he's going to see three touchdowns and almost 300 yards and say that's pretty damn good, frankly. I would still stress this. They had multiple scoring drives that were like not even 15 yards cumulatively. Their offense was not awesome. They were the beneficiaries in a crazy quarter of
football. No, but objectively, Ben played well. Just what did he do? His role
but,
and everything?
But isn't
he had
that
a good
even
game.
More damning? That objectively, he played well, but a bunch of their points at the end of the game were on extremely short fields.
Yeah.
17 of them, man.
I know.
I can't look past that. If we are giving an honest evaluation of the game, they scored 17 points on a combined 50 yards of drives.
Aditi, how did the Steelers get the no-practice Ben to show up for games where he's actually available to practice? Like, why is it that he has his best games when he does nothing to get ready for the games?
I mean, I think that that's part of what plays into the legend and the myth and all the hype. But the bigger deal yesterday is that as you're sitting here and you're talking about, well, it wasn't like it was amazing. Okay, but was it better than Mason Rudolph?
Yes. Yeah, no question.
Well, that's like saying, was this meal good?
Thank you. Yeah,
it was okay.
No.
It was better than liver and onions, though.
How many people have dragged Ben Roethlisberger? How many people?
Well, you're talking to the president of the. You're talking to the president of the club here.
There you go. So how many times have you said it's selfish of him to be out here? He's done. He's whatever. The point is,
the Steelers don't
have another plan. They don't have a succession plan, and he is their best option. And when he threw that ball to Pat Freiermuth yesterday, and I mean, it was just, Mason's not doing that.
Well, Mason's not doing much of anything.
Yeah,
frankly.
But it's not like the offense this year when Ben has played. It's actually been one of the worst in the NFL in terms of points per game. So it's not like with Ben, they shoot up to being one of the better offensive units. They did last night from a point standpoint. It was their best game of the year. That's why I'm wondering if that's what it takes to get maximum Ben, the best Ben, like what do? Tell the guy not to show up for practice and just do everything from home now? I mean, that
we already tried that last year, right? Remember, because he did this against the Bengals. He didn't practice all week because he was a close contact to Vance McDonald, threw for the, 300 and something
yards. Well, right,
yards.
But as a coaching staff, how do you reconcile that? Like, you're supposed to tell your players practice means a lot.
Terrible defense. Look, the Chargers have an awful, 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 horrible defense. Okay, they have a terrible defense.
That's actually not entirely true. They were fourth against the pass and 32nd. Against the run. Teams had run all over them all year. They've been more stingy against the pass. The Steelers couldn't run the ball at all, and yet they were able to find success in the air against them.
Couldn't or didn't. Isn't that the question always with the Steelers in the run game?
I thought they could.
I don't know, Aditi, from the runs that they had, did you think that they were going to find success in it? I mean, they were getting 3 yards a carry.
Did you watch the Bengals Raiders game?
I was working. I did not.
I was watching Red Zone.
I did see them run a nifty fake flea flicker with Mixon that actually gained a bunch of yards.
Okay, so Mixon in the beginning, in the first half, it wasn't necessarily pretty. It was 3 yards here, 4 yards there. Maybe there was a 6 yard. Maybe there was a minus 2 yards. But they stayed with it. They kept with it. And you know what happens to those 3 yard runs? In the third quarter, they turn into 11-yard runs. They turn into touchdowns. You wear a team out. You stick with it. Just because Najee Harris isn't breaking for 18 on his second carry doesn't mean that he's never.
But they were playing from ahead in that game.
Yeah, and I would say it's harder to do that when your quarterback's actually having a good game. How do you just say, let's be patient when the other team is scoring a touchdown every time they have the ball? You know, it's hard.
Maybe you don't give them the ball so much if you have a really good, strong, methodical run game, like the 49ers on Monday night, what they did to the Rams. What was that, like a 11, 12-minute drive, 18 plays? They sucked the soul out of the Rams. They sucked the life out of the Rams with that drive. It's just like what the Steelers did at Tennessee a year ago. Those two long, 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 what was there, like 18-play, 19-play drives. It's the best defense that you can play. Keep the ball out of the hands of the other offense.
Well, they actually did that on their first drive of the game, though. First drive. They had it for 7 minutes. They just didn't score a touchdown. I just don't know. How do you do that when Kendrick Green is your center?
Because how do you get down by the goal line and not run the ball?
Agree. Well, no doubt. I think that was
a huge
miscue.
Wait, not running the ball down by the goal line. You should never have been in that situation. He underthrew Claypool by 5 to 10
yards. Yeah, but still,
there.
I agree. But this play calling was also lousy down there. Both can be true.
Okay, yes. He should have absolutely caught Claypool in stride. Then it's a walk-in touchdown, yes. But again, this is 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger who isn't making that throw.
I know we're grading him on a curve. They couldn't run the ball because 23-year-old Kendrick Green is getting put on ice skates by every nose tackle he sees.
I'm with Chris on this, Aditi. It's hard to run the ball when Dan Moore, Joe Haig, and Kendrick Green are 3/5 of your offensive line.
You know what? I am so tired of talking about the offensive line because I feel like I've been saying the same exact thing.
We have. We're all in the Roman Tabernacle Choir on this one.
What is that to say? And all these people who can
what
say,
is it?
Oh,
Mormon.
You just wait. What are we waiting on?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, Aditi, they'd have been better served. Revisionist history here. Hindsight's 20/20. Pony and I were anti.
No, it isn't because you said it from day one.
Yeah,
it's not like
so.
It's after the fact
True.
That you're flip-flopping on it.
Pony and I were big on the don't draft Najee, draft a lineman. Or if there's not a guy you have rated as a first-round lineman anymore, trade down. They trade down and get Creed Humphrey, Pat Freiermuth, and a third-round graded back or something like that. I am much happier with the state of play on that offensive line, I suspect.
Fire on that one. I mean, that's another thing. Since we're talking about everything that I've ever been dragged on, I was dragged on that because I said exactly the same thing.
People went after us,
just like the David DeCastro year, you know, when Art Rooney steps in and says, no, we're not taking Highsmith, we're not taking a linebacker, we need a offensive lineman that's going to be a stalwart for 10 years for us.
Can I ask you about some of these holes that obviously they don't have the depth or the talent to make up for it? Like, we're talking about the offensive line. They're forced to thrust young guys out there right from day one, when in most times you'd want those guys to wait their turn for a year or two and then gradually turn into starters. How does a team that is trying to win a championship with a 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, how do they reconcile being $11 million under the cap? I'm watching Matt Filer play for the other team. I'm watching Mike Hilton play for the Bengals. I'm watching Steve Nelson play better than
guys
what you're getting.
Never even offered. Never even. Mike Hilton told me they didn't even offer him.
So
Matt
I don't get it. Like, they have all this money that they didn't use, and we're talking about positions where they're just throwing guys out there that aren't NFL. I just don't. Those two things don't mesh. Are you trying to win it in 2021, or are you trying to save money? I don't get it.
I don't think that this is about trying to save money. This is not.
Well, how else do you reconcile being $11 million under the cap, Aditi?
I don't. You're asking me. I don't. I certainly wouldn't. You all know this already. I certainly wouldn't be running things this way. If I'm spending money, I'm spending money on that offensive line.
You know what's frustrating to me?
I think that everything starts up front. And to be this patchwork and to have your one veteran stalwart be Trey Turner, no offense to him.
Who wasn't good enough to play for the Chargers last year. Yep.
I mean, they could have had, Morgan Moses was out there. Could
a lot
have been,
of guys, Chris.
Could have been acquired. I think about it this way, Aditi. The Penguins, one of the things we always chuckled about in this town was, even if they didn't win it, I shouldn't say chuckled, we gave them credit. When they had this golden goose of that nice core for a hockey team, they always spent to the cap to try to max out the window. If we're led to believe that the Steelers still fancied themselves a possible title contender, we can get in and then weird things can happen. It's the NFL. To be this far under the cap when it's supposed to be Ben's swan song and this is your last bite at the apple with him, I think is inexcusable. I mean, it's just like we would be killing another team in town. And I don't
disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. And I think if I'm Ben, I'm furious that this is what I've come back for and this is how little you think of me. I mean, ultimately, when you construct your team, you have a philosophy in the way you construct your team and what matters the most to you, fine. But you also have to recognize the pieces that are in place. And when one of your key pieces is a 39-year-old quarterback who just cannot move anymore, how do you not spend on the offensive line?
Well, that's probably why Tomlin talks about mobility.
Already, you know, more than halfway into the season.
Tomlin can't stop talking about quarterback mobility, but then he tells Jay Glazer he doesn't want a rookie quarterback. So,
well, the important thing is that they've traded picks for guys like Akello Witherspoon, who've really been just boffo at helping them win football games. That's awesome. Glad to have it. Quincy Roche, he's not been able to do anything when he latched on with the Giants. I've heard he just stinks. Oh, wait, he's actually usable. How's that work either, Aditi? A guy that they drafted in the sixth round and they just put him in the discard pile and somebody else picks him up and it turns out he can actually play football. But they have Derek Tuska out there, which is nice.
You know, what's funny to me is that you guys have absolutely no problem kind of calling out some very, very obvious pieces of reality, some very valid questions. But I think that part of the issue here is that the fan base in Pittsburgh generally doesn't do that. I think that fans here really just are as loyal as can be and are completely and totally in lockstep with whatever decision is made. And I think that that's part of why there's such freedom to make decisions that the two of you and me can just be scratching our heads over. You know, it's this idea of if you're in a city where it's like Baker Mayfield getting booed, right? If you're in a city that hasn't had a long history or long tradition of success, then fans don't hesitate to put pressure on the decision makers to voice their opinions, to say, hey, we're the ones paying the money to be there. We're the ones that are supporting the bottom line here. We expect and demand better. I think in Pittsburgh, people are so proud, as they should be, of the six trophies that have been won a long time ago, that there's a lot more license to do what you want, and there's not necessarily the same.
You know what's funny? I agree with you, Aditi. I'll make another quick Penguins analogy. They used to say about Ray Shiro, who built the 09 Penguins, who won the first cup of Crosby's era, in Shiro we trust, and that all sounded great and was a nice catchy phrase until suddenly he couldn't do anything right and they fired him. Like, and I feel like we're at that point where I hear way too much, hey, Kevin Colbert's done this a long time. He's pretty sharp. I don't question him. And I'm like, well, maybe you should.
Mike Tomlin.
Tomlin gets it more from some people. But, yeah, there's still this idea of overarching faith in all of them to do the right thing all the time. I'm like, no, actually, being a fan means you are allowed to question whether or not they still have the touch here.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Yeah, no, I just don't think that's the mindset in this city. I don't think that this is a city that does that.
Chris, have you put up your Christmas decorations yet?
No, but Alex is already talking about it. This morning,
it's all the buzz at the Mueller house?
This morning, she like looked outside and she said, you know, so-and-so down the street, they have
the
theirs
up already.
Neighbor
peer pressure.
If my neighbors are listening, I'll just name them because we like all of our neighbors pretty much, so the ones we've met at least. She goes, you know, Joe and Shauna have theirs up. And I was like, well, that's nice. So Shauna had a crazy Halloween, you know, set up too. It was awesome. She goes, and the house on the corner, really nice. And I was like, okay.
She is implicit in that is trying
get out
to,
there and, hang up the lights. I said, I hung up the lights last year, and you will recall.
It was during a
Steelers
game,
Jaguars
and I ripped you for
game,
it.
And you ripped me for it. And she said, well, there just haven't been that many nice days. I was looking at the weather forecast. Nicest day of the week, temperature-wise, about 50 and sunny, Thanksgiving. Are we going to be out there on Thanksgiving?
Bears Lions?
Oh, God. I mean, Christmas lights feels like a way better entertainment
package. Craig, have you put up your decorations yet?
Inside, not out.
Also, hold on a second. So what's with radio stations, too, playing Christmas music already? I thought you had
does
to wait.
Big ratings.
I thought you had to wait until after Thanksgiving to do that.
No, everyone's trying to get there to the moon first. Big ratings.
This is pumpkin creep in the beer world where all the pumpkin beers get released in July. And it's, what's the point here? Why are we doing
this? Aditi, do you have your decorations up yet?
No. Okay, first of all, my birthday is December 2nd. So I have always been Thanksgiving, then my birthday, then Christmas.
Are you a full
once
birthday
I had
week
children,
celebrator?
I was allowed to kill my no, but like once I had children, I don't even have a birthday anymore. So now at least Thanksgiving. At least I need to get through Thanksgiving, and I am willing to start the whole Christmas season before my birthday or on my birthday. But
okay, because
I am
Amanda, like Chris is alluding to, has tasked me with putting lights up, but I'm convinced if I get up on a ladder, I'll die. So
why?
Bad back.
Are you that uncoordinated?
Bad back. He got stretchered off a basketball court once.
But I did
Aditi.
Give a thumbs up.
You're not old enough to be complaining like this.
Okay.
Like, stop.
So
this is like when Matt complains about his back. Can you, like, you're not old enough.
Okay, so I'm trying to get estimates on paying someone to put the lights up for me.
Okay, my friend,
thoughts?
My girlfriend in town did that, and it was $700.
I'd pay that tomorrow.
I don't know what you're paying.
If somebody wants to come to Andrew Filippone's house and put my lights up for $700, you got a deal.
Now, what's a number where you would say, like, too much?
I can send you somebody.
Do it. You know my number? That person is about to get some Andrew Filippone business.
Well, congratulations, Pony, on all your success.
It, to me, it's not worth the aggravation. I will pay. I will pay.
Pony, enough success. Hey, we can pay the person to come to my house, too.
No, I have.
What a Christmas present for Aditi that would be. You pay to have her house adorned in lights after yours gets done.
Do I make it a combined Christmas and birthday present?
Wow. You can't do that. My brother's birthday is 4 days before Christmas. You cannot combine Christmas and birthday.
So you don't think if you don't think Amanda will think less of me that I am outsourcing the lights to someone else to make sure that it is done in a professional way that.
That's the way, as long as you're not cheap about anything else, then go ahead.
Well, I just think if I do it, I just think she'll look at it as such a haphazardly sloppy job.
Look, if you know that you are not good at this and this is not your wheelhouse,
it is
then
not.
I absolutely think that that is something that you should outsource to someone who's
Thank
an
you.
Expert. And then every single day she drives home, she's not like, oh, that's crooked, or oh, that tree looks bad. Instead, there should be immense joy in looking at the output. And instead, you focus your attention on things that you are good at.
Malzie, you want to get on the $700 lights bandwagon, my friend?
It's your money, not mine.
I'm saying, why don't you get in on it and pay for it? Maybe we can get a Pony and Muller discount price.
I'm a blue-collar man, Pony. I'll do it. You know who the person is here who could actually join up and make this a three-person deal? The guy who just got a big promotion to be our boss.
Hey, now.
Oh.
Craig?
Craig, can you get us a sponsorship for that?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right. Can we get a pop on the air, Craig? Come on.
Your plugola, your payola, things of that nature.
Craig's
purposely not answering.
Craig
right
is
now.
Fired oh before he even starts because he made a
Craig, what are those,
deal.
Craig, what are those pink slips lunch? I see you drafting up in there?
This conversation is making me very nervous in the new role.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 South Hills, temperatures in the 40s. All right, Aditi, are you going to be doing Steelers Bengals or will you have Ravens Browns this weekend?
No, I am headed to Cincinnati for Steelers Bengals.
Will you eat Skyline Chili?
No, I will not.
How about Montgomery Inn?
I don't know what Montgomery Inn is.
It's the famous ribs place.
I'm a vegetarian, guys. Haven't we been through
No, I know, but they have other options there. I went to the Steelers media dinner there a couple of years ago. I was the 93.7 The Fan representative.
And that went well.
And
I've never been invited to a Steelers media dinner.
Pony, I don't think will be invited back, partly because of me. One person in particular did not seem very
Aditi,
welcoming.
I had to walk up a very fancy, elaborate staircase to go to the private dining room there for all the Steelers media. And like the Steelers embassy, like their PR and Steelers.com people were greeting us at the top of the stairs. And they were not the most excited to see me. Let me
you
just
would
put
say,
it
You would say
that way.
One particular right. Steelers.com
Why
employee.
Not you?
Because of things I have said about
no,
one particular...
Man, I don't...
Somebody did not like the ring of what I had to say about
him.
And
let me just say this. I am great in social settings like that. If you are holding like a small
are you really,
party...
Hold on. Are you really the person who should be evaluating whether you're great?
I know I'm good at it.
How
Aditi
do you
said,
know?
Aditi said, know what's in your wheelhouse. I can't put up lights, but you have a dinner party of 10 people. As long as there's not a game I'm interested where I'm just looking at it on my phone the entire time...
First-hand experience I can talk
if
about
that. If that doesn't exist, I'm great. I'm tremendous. Great
we,
at...
We need to figure out what weekend. So I am working every single Sunday from here on out.
Yeah.
But we've got to figure out sometime when both of your families can come to my house and we can watch football together, whether we have lights or not. And we can discuss this in person, and then I can have really good first-hand experience on whether Pony is good in social settings or not.
I'm a blast at dinner parties.
Oh, see, I'm awkward and terrible, so I'm not,
I
have nothing to
look
to.
I was just kind of hoping we were having drinks and snacks, but okay, I guess I'll be cooking dinner.
Aditi, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Sounds great. Bye, guys.
Fan weather, I already did that. An invite to Aditi's. How about that?
Man, this was like bizarro world right there. Going from Christmas lights to you being great at dinner. I know I'm terrible
in
all those
settings.
And she
got me a deal on the Christmas lights, yeah. No less. And maybe someone else is hearing 700. Pony, I can do 500. Let the bidding war start. Who wants to be the lucky company that puts lights on my house, Malsy? Let's go.
What do you think would happen if I solicited that? People would just leave bags of dog crap in my yard?
It's like when...
You know, I love Christmas lights. I hate your Ben takes.
It's like when Cook got the feces mailed to him, that sort of deal. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.